Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host Travis.
And I'm Chris.
And we are back. Man, it's been a while since we're doing the YouTube thing.
Oh my god, they can see me.
Yeah, trust me, they're already blind.
Fast.
Yeah. So
that's why I wear glasses.
Yeah. So, you know, a few months ago we were doing things like this on YouTube. We reviewed a Logan and other movies like that.
Walking Dead.
Yeah. We're not gonna bore you with Walking Dead. But we do have a new movie that just came out. You just say highly anticipated, right?
Someone. It was on our list of highly anticipated.
Someone anticipated.
Yeah.
We're going to be
Coco.
Talking. Yeah, that one. And then after that, we're going to be talking about Justice League.
Yeah.
It's the DC team-up superhero movie that focuses on, you know, the Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Batman, Flash, Cyborg.
Those five.
Yeah.
Only those five.
Nothing else. So, we're going to be talking in depth about the movie. Spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out first. Come back. Check it
You've
out.
You've had a week. There's no excuse.
You're off for Thanksgiving, right? So
yeah,
there's no excuse.
Trust me. It's $5 at the theater tomorrow, people.
And
there's
no
excuse.
And they need everything they can get.
Oh, my God. Do you want to start with that?
Sure.
With the numbers? With the money?
Sure.
With the bling bling?
Yeah.
They got my money. I wouldn't see.
They got
my
money. And I liked the movie. All flat out, I liked it. But we'll get into reasons why. And it's kind of disappointing that it didn't do good. But at the same time, it's kind of on the trend of DC movies just in general. But it was weird because I would think that after the success of Wonder Woman and she being in this movie, I would be thinking
anticipation
something. At least matching Wonder Woman's box office open, but man, nothing. They had a budget of like $300 million, and opening weekend.
$140 for marketing also on top of that.
$93 million. $93 million, that was all it made first weekend, opening weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. And that budget, I don't know if that included or not, but the all that money they put in for reshoots, all the expensive reshoots for something we'll be talking about here later on. This is disappointing, man. I hope, and of course, that's not before like worldwide and everything else comes through. And
how much of that is the track record of Warner Brothers, and how much of that is actually how much weight Rotten Tomatoes actually has on our culture right now?
I hope it's not because of that. I know that was another thing. Rotten Tomatoes withheld the score. Up until...
They tried.
Yeah, they tried to.
They tried to.
Others,
turned yeah. out, the Flixster app also has Rotten Tomatoes, and if you had the Flixster app, you could tell 44% on Friday.
And what, Friday, it, and what it is apparently Warner Brothers owns a little bit of Rotten Tomatoes, so now everybody's trying to put two and two together. It's like, wait, they don't want to reveal the score. Is it a bad thing? And that's another thing I think that really affected this movie was everything backstage, all the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, Ben Affleck is... the star of the movie, one of the stars, and he's been hit.
He doesn't want to be out there.
Well, he's been saying that he's been trying to get out of. There's rumors and everything about him not wanting to be Batman anymore. Well, if your star doesn't want to be the character, why am I going to go watch it?
Yeah.
Right. And then plus all the allegations and harassment things going on. His name has been floating out there and all that kind of stuff. And there's that with him.
Then Henry Cavill is another.
The Cavill
another
with the pettiest of contract holdouts I've ever seen. He couldn't even just shave it for a reshoot. No, Paramount was like, no, God damn it, you're not gonna be able to shave your mustache, even though it'd probably be cheaper for us to slap a fake one on you. No, let them worry about that. And then we saw the result of that.
What else was going on?
Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner, halfway through the filming.
Oh wait, who are you talking about?
The director.
Oh,
before
Joss Whedon. Zack Snyder.
Yeah. Lost in his family. He had to pull out from finishing Justice League, so they brought in Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon.
Whedon.
Yes, that
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. To do some, like you said, very expensive reshoots.
Yeah.
And to finish the movie. The first 30 seconds was a very mixed bag.
First 30 seconds?
Of the movie.
Okay.
Because, like you, I was aware of everything that was going on.
Right.
I was aware that Gal Gadot was pregnant during these reshoots.
Yeah. But, well, she was pregnant during Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but she was more pregnant during Justice League reshoots. It's like 4 months already. The first 30 seconds, there's a cell phone video of Henry Cavill as Superman. It's supposed to be prologue.
Something clip. Yeah. It has no relevance to the movie whatsoever.
But it did do something that neither Man of Steel or Batman vs. Superman didn't do. And it established Superman as a role model.
There you go.
That was one of the first things where I was like, yes, Joss Whedon's putting this on the right track.
Yes.
Because I doubt two movies in a row, if we didn't get that, What's-His-Face was not going to give it to us in this movie.
No.
So right off the bat, that's the positive. What balanced out that positive was that CGI was ugly as fuck.
Yeah.
Trying to blur out that mustache. There are very many parts in this movie where you can tell it was a reshoot.
Because that CGI was bad. Now, the CGI was worse in that opening scene.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because it's the very first fucking thing you see. And it's unfortunate that I knew about that. Because it made me self-consciously, I was staring at his upper lip every single scene he was in. I didn't want to acknowledge that at all. But that opening scene, it's in your face, literally. Like, it's... But that was the worst scene, I think. There was a couple other spots in the movie later on, but it didn't affect me. It didn't bother me. But getting back to the box office, one of the reasons it failed, I think one of the reasons it failed is because Thor, Ragnarok. Ooh. I think everybody got their... It's only 2 weeks in. And that got hyped like crazy. And everybody went to go see that thing. And
it's already at $500 million, right?
Something like that, yeah. It's almost like superhero fatigue, if you will. I mean, it's just like...
One company's done it right more often than not.
Well, we've had Marvel and DC... Marvel and DC's gone back and forth like this before, but not two big items like this so close together. Like, you maybe had like...
It's weird because you label it as two big items. I would think a big item is Avengers. Or Civil War, where you have enough Avengers where you would think it's an Avengers movie.
Right.
You have two Marvel heroes tops that's in like the like bad relationship couple,
okay,
against the entire fucking Justice League.
Okay, well, on paper, yeah, that's, but when you look at the marketing and the fucking trailers for Thor were mind blowing. Yeah, it's like I'd want to see that. I don't think the marketing for the first trailer for Justice League was really good. It was like, it had a lighter tone, it had good music, but that was a year ago, you know? And I don't think the marketing never like adjusted or anything else.
The marketing, again, that goes back to Warner Brothers' track record. You fooled me once with Suicide Squad. You're not gonna fool me again with Batman, with Justice League.
Like, we've seen good, we've always said like, BVS had good trailers, except for the second one where they spoiled everything. Yeah. Suicide Squad had really good trailers. I mean, in Wonder Woman, well, Wonder Woman is Wonder Woman. But, you know, they had good trailers, and we've been fooled, you know. Yeah. So I think a lot, maybe trepidation, maybe a lot of people. But I think, for me, myself, personally speaking, I think word of mouth should be getting out by now that this isn't a really, it's not a 10 stars great movie, but it's good. It's enjoyable. I came out and entertained by it.
Is that in the microcosm of the 2 hours that you saw it, or is that in your mind comparing it to Man of Steel?
BBS, I didn't compare it to nothing.
Suicide Squad.
I didn't compare it to nothing. I just went in there. I purposely stayed away from reviews. I purposely just like turned my brain off for a second. I just want to say, let me take this in as it is, what it is, and let me enjoy it. Aside from the mustache thing, that was the only kind of behind the scenes. I didn't try to evaluate. What did Joss do? What scene was his? Although I could tell a couple of them, but what got cut? Well, I wasn't thinking about all that kind of stuff, like, because there, you could tell there was some lighter moments, and you can tell there was some, yeah. But I just want to get into some of the stuff that I liked about it.
Go for it.
My pros actually outweighed the cons for me in this one, and that's saying something for a DC flick.
Is that since Wonder Woman? You had the same sway. You had pros outweighed.
Did we do a breakdown episode of Wonder Woman? I don't think we did.
No,
it's interesting, right? Wow, can't believe we missed timing. That. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's been 3 months, but yeah, okay. all right. So one of the, I just kind of mentioned one of them was lighter.
It was in the summer blockbuster episode that we did.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Yeah, we did kind of spend a little bit of time on that. Yeah. All right. So one of the tones, I just kind of mentioned it, the kind of lighter tone. Yeah, there were some moments, you know, kind of darker. But again, there's a lighter, you know, Ezra Miller, he was in there. A lot of comic relief. To me, that's not really a plus. It's actually a con. I'll get to in here in a minute. But, you know, there's a scene with they're all sitting around and Aquaman's sitting on the lasso of truth and he's just over here blabbing away. That was funny. That was funny.
That's Whedon.
That was definitely a Whedon joke. Yeah. So I just like the overall, it wasn't dark and dreary. It was raining and dark.
Well, the dreariness made sense in this movie because, come on, we're starting the movie immediately after the death of Superman. We're not going to have a fucking comedy showcase in the first 15 minutes following the last minutes of the last movie in this story where fucking Superman's dead. We're not going to start in a fucking lighter tone with that. So it was justified to start that way. And the fact that it didn't drag on for the entire time was very refreshing.
Well, I tell you what I did enjoy after the bad CG cell phone scene was opening shot. We get Gotham City. We get Batman fighting a parademon. That was fucking... I enjoyed the hell out of that. him soaring around on the grappling hook and doing all this other stuff. Take my money. You got it. Yeah. People are going back and forth with Ben Affleck as Batman. I like Ben Affleck as Batman. I don't know why everybody's so like anti Ben Affleck on this. I enjoy him. Like maybe you can take out Ben Affleck and you can still do the scenes and everything just with a different actor. I guess it would be the same thing for me. I just like seeing a fucking Batman flying around and doing Batman stuff.
I would understand Batman versus Superman because that's the first time we see Ben Affleck in the costume since Christian Bale.
Right.
So people would still be like, it's too soon. Christian Bale did such a good job. The Academy Award winning Dark Knight for the supporting actor. Like, come on, it's Christian Bale. We like Christian Bale. It's too soon.
But you
pointed it out. Maybe it was in the Batman versus Superman discussion we did last year. Mm. This is the third time in less than 12 months on film that we've seen Ben Affleck as Batman. By now, if you're not already used to it, you're just wasting your money complaining or you're wasting your time watching this movie. You should already be familiar with Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yeah, BVS,
even if I didn't like him in BVS, now with Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, and Justice League, I should already be used to it. And I shouldn't be complaining anymore. My complaints would have already happened in the first movie, maybe the second one. What's the point of arguing it? This is the third fucking movie. Watch the fucking movie, you know?
If I have any complaints about Batman the character in this movie, which this is actually a con that I have, is I think the lighter tone was too much on him. Like, there was a scene where later on in the movie, he actually smiles. I was like, wait. Batman doesn't smile.
It depends the consistency on the tone of the scenes because...
And that's the problem with this movie.
Because my favorite Batman, until the day I die, unless somebody wants to beat me to it, my Batman is Kevin Conroy, animated series.
Right.
And in that animated series, Batman does smile often.
He smirks. This is a final smile when he saw Superman. Yeah.
But still, like, it wasn't so off-putting that I noticed it.
Well, I didn't.
But again, yeah, you might not pay attention.
Okay, so, but yeah, him fighting the parademon in the opening thing.
It felt like it was like out of the opening scene of Justice League War.
A little bit. Yeah. Well, this follows it a little. This is following the New 52 storyline of Justice League. So, you know what I also liked? I liked Aquaman. Everything with Aquaman I liked. Jason Momoa's character. I like the world they created for him. Him going back to Atlantis and that underwater fight scene with Steppenwolf and Mera. That was badass, I thought.
I think that was another example of Warner Brothers doing something right. And not so much Aquaman the character, but the fact that you casted Aquaman as Jason Momoa, a guy that moistened many vaginas during Game of Thrones. And if you were going to have him in your typical old school Aquaman costume, that wasn't going to do you any favors. They kept him because I saw it with a date, and she mentioned that they did a very good job of making Aquaman sexy to appeal to the women audience. If you're going to have Jason Momoa covered up, you're not going to win any favors with the women audience.
Right.
You know, and us as men, they did us a great favor with Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
Right.
It's obvious in the receipts.
Right.
You know, so for them to return it on the women's side and have Jason Momoa in all his splendor, and then and his acting, dude, his role, it wasn't typical Arthur Curry. It was something different, but you can still see the core of him being Aquaman.
Well, they set everything up for his movie.
Yeah,
they set up his world. They set up where he's from and who's this Merit chick and the way
how they talk underwater.
Yeah, which I think James Wan, the director of Aquaman, he says they're not following that.
Yeah.
That's I don't know what that was. He says I don't know what that was, but that's not what we're doing. So, but anyway, they're setting everything down right just for his movie, and I'm down with that. That's what you do. That's how you establish worlds for DC.
One of the best parts of BVS was the introduction of Wonder Woman, and I think this did just as good a job, if not better, laying down the introduction at least for Aquaman.
I wouldn't say but
as good.
If he had a badass theme song. And then it would be cool. But I think that theme song when Wonder Woman came out in VBS, I think that's what killed it for everybody.
Yeah. XL Junkie did a good job. But apparently that didn't work the same for you with Flash?
Even though
we saw a bit of him in
there. That's one of my cons I have on this movie is Ezra Miller as Flash. Even my wife didn't like him. Like, he was fun. Like, we laughed a couple times. But that's not Barry Allen. I don't know. The one thing that I will say is I caught it and I enjoyed the fact that there was a little, not so subtle, but sort of a subtle like character arc for Barry Allen. Like he starts off, he's not moving on with anything. He's still stuck in this place trying to get his dad out of prison and blah, because his dad was, you know the story of Flash. His mom was killed when he was a kid. His dad was blamed for it. He's in jail. He's been in jail this whole time. But now in this movie, Barry Allen can't move on. He keeps visiting his dad, and his dad's like, "You got to move on," and he's not progressing. By the end of this movie, because he's met all these other superheroes, he's able to move
on.
He's
got direction.
He's got direction now. Nice and that job. actually played off in that one scene where they showed in the trailer where he's like, "I just push people," like, and from there, Batman says, save one person, and go." You know, and that's first of all, that's good, like Batman shit. You know, just. Like, what do I do? And
he's the coach. His superpower is not that he's rich. It's that he knows how to delegate.
Yeah.
He's got a plan, and he executes it.
So because of that, by the end of his movie, he does go see his dad and say, "Hey, look." And he showed him the paperwork that he's going to be in the forensics department. That's Barry Allen's job that we know. Mm-hmm. So, and that was one of my critiques that I had from when I first saw Ezra Miller. I was like, that's not Barry Allen. The ponytail. Because I think he had a ponytail in BVS. But yeah, this little version of Barry Allen, that's not him. But I think we're gonna get that. We're getting there. But
do you think that part of that problem is because there's already a better Flash on television?
I agree. I think that is an issue. A lot of people were saying you already have a good Flash. Why do you need another one? Like you're already trying. You keep saying you're not the same as Marvel or whatever, just do it. Have a TV actor go into your movies, vice versa.
Help me out here. I know I don't want to jump too far ahead, even though we did warn the people already about the spoilers.
Spoilers.
The bonus scene, Deathstroke. Is that the same Deathstroke from the TV, or is that a movie person?
It's all the movies.
Right. All of them are the movie guys?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't see why. Making sure.
Yeah.
Because we're having that complaint that you think there's a better Flash on TV. From first impressions, you think that Deathstroke...
Well, and we'll get to that later. I didn't want to go there yet. But so I didn't really care too much for... And plus, another thing is, like, all his lines, you pretty much saw them all on the trailers. Like, I think pretty much everything from Flash was in those trailers.
Yeah.
And I think they did that on purpose, just to say, hey, look, we're funny. We're, you know, we're not dark and groomy.
How about Cyborg?
I was pleasantly surprised by Ray Fisher as a Cyborg. Cyborg has never been one of my favorite characters. He's there, but like I know emotional attachment to the character. So I know of him. I know he was in the Teen Titans. I know all that, and I know when DC rebooted everything on the New 52, he became part of the Justice League. But I was never really into him. He wasn't my guy. So I didn't have a problem with him being in the movie because I know he was in the Justice League. But that being said, Ray Fisher fucking knocked it out of the park for his, he played it low key, you know, didn't overdo anything, and it just worked. Like, you could tell, like, the tormented
guy, the struggle within.
Yeah, they kind of trapped within the machine type thing, you know. That's one thing that I enjoyed. I didn't think I was gonna like about it, but yeah, he surprised me. I wasn't expecting that. And his relationship with Wonder Woman, I think that played off pretty good too, you know. And that was another thing about I enjoyed was Gal Gadot returning as Wonder Woman, obviously. And yeah, for obvious reasons. But like, she we're seeing that kind of not a character change in her, but there was a little scene of dialogue where they explained, I think they tried to retcon a couple of miscontinuity things from the previous movies, was they explained that she has been helping people, but just in the shadows. Like, she hasn't been out publicly, but whenever she sees something going down, she's there to help. And I think that kind of counters what BVS was saying. Like, BVS, she was, I turn my back on mankind 100 years ago, or some bullshit like that. But so this movie explains, she's not really. what my point was is, we see her at first, she's like, I don't know how to lead, and blah blah blah. And by the time she's talking to all these people, she's leading pretty much. And you know, she almost like a, you know, lack of a better word, like a mother hen figure, you know, to, like, especially Cyborg, because he's lost, you know, he's kind of doesn't know how to control anything or anything like that. But
the Cyborg character in the beginning, I thought he was deadpanning it. I think he was a little too meh. I think as the movie progressed, you noticed he started and started displaying, emoting the fact that he's doesn't have at times complete control of himself.
Right.
That's when I started investing in the character in the movie.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that they haven't really done anything with that. Like, maybe the next Justice League movie or whatever movie that the Cyborg shows up as the buddy, maybe he becomes the villain because he doesn't have complete control and something else overrides. Well, they fixed
that in the movie. He started controlling it. Like, the very last scene he's in, he's like, he transformed,
upgrader.
Yeah, his armor gets all flattened out and looks like the traditional comic book version of his armor and stuff. I enjoyed it. He even said his little tagline from Teen Titans Go. He said, "Booyah." That was a line from, that's a line from the cartoon.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on Steppenwolf?
I didn't mind it. He's a big CG villain, but you know what? It's supposed to be. You know, it's, what do you think we're gonna get when fucking Thanos comes in? You know, or Darkseid or whatever. But here's the thing. Yeah, it looked kind of corny with the big helmet and everything, but he's supposed to be big, menacing. I didn't have a problem with that. Honestly, I didn't. And I liked Killian Hines. I liked him in Rome. He was Julius Caesar in Rome. But so I like hearing him talk. So so I didn't have a problem with that. It was CG, but there's a few close-ups of his face. He looked like a menacing villain. Yeah, so I didn't
give him that. I think the only two problems I had with that was, number one, he kind of looked like Surtur, horns, crown, dilly thing on top, in the Ragnarok movie that I just saw 2 weeks ago. The bigger issue, I mean, if you want to beat if you want to beat Marvel to the punch, I just saw Justice League War. It's an awesome movie. I don't mind if you're gonna do an adaptation of an animated movie, especially if you're gonna do it well. And for the most part, couple of characters aside or a couple of moments aside, the characters were done pretty well.
Yeah.
Why not just fucking do Darkseid?
Yeah.
I know Steppenwolf said his name once or twice. Okay. Batman already had the flashbacks during Batman versus Superman. I mean, why not just go there?
Yeah, Steppenwolf as the villain. Like I said, I didn't mind him. But who is Steppenwolf? Like, I don't know who that is. He's a nobody. Like, he's a nobody villain, but he looks imposing. So it worked and what he's doing. You need a Steppenwolf to get to Darkseid, you know, because he's trying to get all the
scouting.
Yeah, he's trying to get all the mother boxes and everything, and to take back to Apocalypse. To transform Earth into a new Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And there were mentions of other things like the new gods and he didn't say Apocalypse, but he said Darkseid. And we're getting references we're getting references to all this shit that we could be getting in DC movies. And I'm kind of looking forward to that.
If we get there.
If we get there. We'll get to that. Speaking of like Steppenwolf and all that, there's another really cool scene I liked. When he got the mother box from the Amazons.
Yeah.
Dude, that was a fucking badass scene. I don't care who you are. And that little keep away scene when they're like keeping the arrows and they're running away from Steppenwolf and he finally gets... Dude, that was a fucking badass scene, dude.
I kind of like the Atlantis one a little bit more.
They're both good scenes. I mean, yeah. The underwater fight scene, yeah. That little telekinesis thing that she did, I don't know, with the water. I don't know exactly what the fuck she did, but it was fucking badass.
I think she took the air out of the water to make it, like, heavy.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what the scientific term is, but that does exist.
Yeah. So, we're getting cool shit with this. That's my point.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, talk about that. One thing I didn't notice at first until, like, halfway through the movie. I forgot that fucking Danny Elfman did the score for this thing. And Danny Elfman...
There was several throwbacks in that soundtrack. And
I'm
waiting. I think it's already out on iTunes. Already, I might buy some of the tracks. He did...
He remixed his own score for Batman.
Batman. And he did John Williams' old Superman theme.
Yeah. There is a scene, dude. I got goosebumps, man, when it happened, man. The scene we see in the trailer where Gordon flips on the bat signal. And it turns around. And then we cut to Batman on the... like, he's perched on the corner of the building. And you hear the... the Batman theme, dude. You put that music in anything, it's fucking badass. Yeah. I don't care what you are. I don't care what you say. But the scene where there's a scene where Superman comes back. They bring him back. That's another thing I didn't really care too much for, like how they brought him back. They were digging his. They dug his grave and they took him out. They fucking grave robbers.
Necrophilia, ladies and gentlemen.
In a Justice League movie, we saw Flash
making jokes out of it,
and he wasn't doing it fast either. I would think that he would be, quick as possible.
15 seconds. I'll dig the hole. Cyborg, you lift it out.
It's easy. Done. I'm done in like 5 seconds. No, but then they actually carry his body back to the ship to do everything. But didn't like at the end of BVS, like they showed the last scene. It's the casket and like the dirt on top of it starts like rising up. Mm. Wasn't it like when they opened up the casket, I was expecting him not to be there.
That would have been cool.
Like, but I don't know. They literally brought
it. It felt weird. It felt
really wrong. Weird. Yeah. Like I know you have to bring him back.
The only part that kind of made sense, I have to remember in the back of my mind, this is something Zack Snyder would do.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it kind of does make sense. You don't want it to make sense, but you have to live with it. It does make sense. So just fucking go with it.
But that being said, since we're talking about Superman, he came back. There was a nice little line about Pet Cemetery.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was funny. But that and that goes back to the score whenever we see the four Justice League members standing in front of Superman as he like kind of turns around and looks at him. That's when they use a darker mixed tone, a remix of the Superman theme,
mm-hmm.
Which is fucking badass.
I was just waiting for Ezra Miller to be like, oh, man, is this Bizarro World or something? Because Superman just...
Yeah,
at that point, I was like, oh, fuck, they're dropping lines left and right. Yeah. Just do it.
There was a... that made me laugh, that scene when the Justice League, they're holding down Superman, and Flash tries to run around Superman. And this whole time, we see the special effects. We see, like, it's like slow motion for him, so he can, like, no one else can see what he's doing. And then, but in this particular scene, he looks at Superman, and Superman looks back, and he's like, he's got this big eyed wide look on his face.
He trips or something?
Yeah. Does he, like, grab him or something? Yeah. And then he, like, throws him or some shit? I don't know, but that was funny. I thought that was a nice payoff.
The payoff for me was the first post-credit scene where they do the little tribute to one of the...
the Flash
The Superman animated series. There's an episode where Superman and Flash have a competition who gets around.
Well, it's an old comic first.
Yeah, well, that's how what I know it. You probably have read it. I haven't gone that far back. So but, that's the first. That was a callback
comics,
to me.
It was in the comics first, then the cartoon, and then even on Smallville, they've even done that before.
Oh, really?
Too. Yeah. Okay. And I think they've done it not with him, but on the CW, Supergirl and Flash, when they first met up, they did a little race too. So it's a thing. Like anytime you get a super person with Flash, you always have to do the race. It's something you just
it's a throwback. Yeah. It's there.
Yeah. There was a badass flashback scene That it was like thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, whatever.
When this is where I fell asleep.
Now, jackass.
Unfortunately, as much as I liked Justice League, I was pleasantly surprised with Justice League. It did not pass my sleep test because I fell asleep. The beginning, the first 20 to 30 minutes for me, it was flat. It didn't go up. So, and I had a lot, I've worked a lot the last couple of weeks and I was burnt.
How do you fall asleep during Batman fighting a parademon?
No, I saw that. I saw the beginning, but within the first 30 minutes, somewhere in that first 30 minutes, I fell asleep, and that you're just telling me because I read after I saw the movie that there were teases for Green Lantern, and I missed it.
It was a tease. There was a fucking Green Lantern in the fucking scene.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, they said they were talking about Amazons and Atlanteans all fought together, united with humans, and then the aliens came down and helped. And they showed a fucking, it was an alien dude, I've never seen him before, but he had the green armor over him, like the aura shield thing. Mm-hmm. And there he was doing constructs out like crazy, like the little, you know, Green Lantern Zoo. And then he gets killed. And then the alien, he goes up to him, and then the alien's dead. But you see the Green Lantern ring, like fly up and like shoot off to go find a new replacement.
Mm-hmm. Tease.
That was fucking badass. We got that in a fucking Justice League movie. So
fucking Ryan Reynolds.
I wish there's a payoff to that at the end of the fucking movie. Because otherwise, why put it in there if you're not going to pay it off in that same fucking movie? That being said, ooh, I was excited when I saw that. all right. That's pretty much it. Oh, last thing. You kind of touched on it before. One of my last big pros I liked about this was a freaking boss post-credit scene. I love that post-credit. And it had Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. God, who'd have funk it? I liked a scene with him in it. But when we see, when it starts off, we see some dude in a
speedboat.
In a little speedboat. He docks at a yacht and he goes in there. And we find out we see fucking Deathstroke walking down. You're like, oh shit.
I could tell it was Deathstroke because they had the swords in his back and they had the ribbons and they were floating in the wind.
Right, yeah.
I was like, oh, great. Deadpool.
Yeah. and then we see who's talking to him, and it's Lex Luthor. There was a scene during the movie, there's a jailbreak, whatever, and we find out Lex Luthor wasn't in jail. He had escaped somehow. But I kind of like that, too, because it was, like, minimalist. Like, you didn't need to see everything. They didn't need to show you
anything. You didn't need a 15-minute build scene for that.
Explaining why he's not in there. We just know, okay, there's jailbreak because someone poses Lex Luthor, and he got out. Yeah. Good enough for me. So in this scene, he's like, looks like they're building a league. Why don't we get a league of our own, you know? So,
nothing but female baseball players. Batter up.
Overplayed joke already. Yeah. You had to go there. Everybody's saying that joke. But, I dug it. I just hope, and it's reasons like that scene, I hope that this universe actually does continue on the right track. I think a lot of things were corrected in this movie. And I think they're on the right path to a better DCU than what we've seen before. And I don't know if that's because of some of the reshoots and revisions that Joss Whedon did. I don't know. And I know right now I've been seeing there's like a petition or something, or people that worked on the movie. They're like, I really want to see the Zack Snyder
cut. Yeah, there was some leaked footage that appeared online. Most of it was Cyborg. Using his laser enhancement to lay out a 3D map of like Soviet Russia during the World War II or whatever, and then him actually, or drones or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's no guarantee that footage exists even then. It might not be much. It's not the first time, for example, that they showed footage in a trailer and you don't see that footage in the movie.
Yeah, what was up with the scene with Alfred in the Batcave? He's working on something, and we see the water shake, and he turns around and says, "Oh, I'm glad you're here," or whatever he said. Yeah. Where the fuck was that? That was one of the things I wanted to know what happened, but yeah. The last thing I didn't like about this movie was the fucking the Russian family.
I was thinking that was going to be the payoff for us seeing a Green Lantern.
Right? Like he
was like, oh, great. Maybe Green Lantern's Russian. Ah, Sieg Heil.
No, maybe like Green Lantern comes down and saves the family as opposed to Flash because he was going the wrong fucking direction.
Yeah.
I don't care about.
That was a waste of space.
Where was everybody? That was in Russia, right? Like, where the fuck is everybody?
Some people were fighting the parademons. Wonder Woman was fighting.
No, I mean Russian. Like, where are the Russians at?
Oh, I don't know.
It's like the only family that's in Russia.
Yeah.
It was weird.
I like the scene where the Flash that saved the truck, and he's like, whew.
Yeah.
And then Superman's had the whole fucking building. Like, it's like,
yeah. Oh, God damn it. Now, let's talk about the final fight scene. I love the look of everything. Is the red sky. Just like in the fucking Batman cartoon. Red sky everywhere, you know? It's like, I can dig it. Just like Aquaman. Like, all his lines. Everything. We saw a lot of that last scene in the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Him fucking skydiving down that parademon in the building. My man, he gets tossed, you know, and he saves the Batmobile and from a lot of that stuff. If you put the trailers together, you can probably see fight scene. Yeah, and you can probably see a big chunk of this movie too. But I dug it. Like, nothing to me. Like, okay, when I went to go see BVS, there was parts of the movie I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, I was confused on some things. Like, there were some things
that scene where Batman was in the desert and Superman went down in the bunker and unmasked him to be Bruce Wayne. I was like, what the? Yeah.
No, not that. But the scene after that when Flash just kind of pops in and then goes back out. Yeah. And then.
The team.
Yeah. And it's like, how would he have a dream of stuff that he doesn't even know about? Like, how would he even know about the Omega sign and parademons and everything? Was it a vision? Like, it had to be. Whatever. We're backtracking on BVS. But anyway, yeah, man, I dug it. What about you?
Solid 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
I was anticipating this movie. I don't think it let me down enough for me to think it was a letdown. I think it was.
I was good. Nervous about this movie because I wanted to do good, and I went in there with like I tried to go in there with like open mind, zero expectations. Just I wanted to sit down and just. Bring it to me. Like, tell me what you got, you know? And I think they brought it, you know? I know I told a couple people, you know, it's fucking good. And they're like, really? Like, you liked it?
Like they're still pessimistic.
Yeah, they
have their reasons.
It's a track stigma. Record. It's a stigma of WB DC movies. It's just like Suicide Squad and BBS and Wonder Woman is one-off. You're not going to
be able to. Man of Steel. Yeah.
Man of Steel is like so far in the distant now, it's... Like, I don't even mind it. That was another thing about Henry Cavill. I really, not even me, but my wife actually liked Henry Cavill too in this movie. Like, his portrayal of Superman was...
He had a presence in this movie.
He had a presence.
He's been missing since he started.
He had a little bit of Pet Sematary, what's going on here. But after that, I stand for truth and for justice. You know, that's fucking Superman. Did you notice the costume was a little bit brighter too? It wasn't like dark and dingy like BBS was.
It had color.
Yeah, it had color. It was fucking Superman, you know?
It was light blue, not like a faded purple.
Yeah, like there was a sense of hope with this Superman, whereas the other Superman was not.
Yeah.
So,
which is backwards, because in the Death of Superman, when he gets brought back to life, isn't he like in the black suit for a while?
Yeah, a lot of people were thinking, well, why don't you just bring him back in the black suit? But for the interest of time, I guess, you had to just kind of get to the
chase. That's a question for you. Was 2 hours enough to establish everyone properly? I understand some movies get too long, so they did this in time constraint.
Well, originally this was like a 2.5 hour movie, but there was the WB head up. They were like, no, it has to be 2 hours.
It has to be 2 hours so that we could fit another screening every day so we can try to get more money.
Something like that, yeah. Honestly, I was thinking it was going to be rushed, but it didn't feel rushed to me.
Neither did I. Even though I slept for a couple of minutes, it didn't feel like it was that long. I wasn't looking at the. I never looked at the watch at my watch to be like, okay, when is this over? Like it was fun. I liked it.
It was a fun movie.
I could see the biggest praise that I can give it is this will probably be the first movie, second movie because of Wonder Woman. But now this movie, not only will I buy it, I can see myself rewatching this.
Hmm.
That's a good movie from start to finish.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mind seeing, like, an extended cut. Maybe throw some of that stuff in there for the DVD or Blu-ray, whatever.
Show me where that ring went.
Yeah. Do something.
Yeah.
But, man, I hope they're able to continue the vision that they kind of transitioned from the Zack Snyder vision to whatever vision they're going for, and they got some good things going, and I'd like to see it pushed in that same direction that I saw started here. Like I said, the Aquaman, all the world that they created for Aquaman, give me more of that. Yeah. I'd like to see how that can be expanded. And that's being done by one of my favorite directors, James Wan. So I'm really looking forward to that one. That does have high expectations for me just because of that. They're still trying to get the Flash and Cyborg movies. They had directors for them, but they backed out.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on with those movies. Obviously, Wonder Woman 2 is still a thing. You can't. That's a sure.
Well, thing. That's not as sure a thing as you might think.
Yeah, it is. It's already signed up and everything.
Yeah, but Gal Gadot's petitioned. There's certain people that are in charge of that movie that she doesn't want in charge.
They already said that was a fake news thing.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Brett Ratner. That's why I thought you were saying that earlier. No, Brett Ratner is one of the things that's accused for sexual harassment. All that.
Who isn't at this point?
Yeah,
if you have a swinging dick, you're pretty much fucked.
Yeah, if you said hi to a girl, you're on the list. So, so Wonder Woman 2, we still don't have anything for Man of Steel 2. I don't know what's going on with that. And then the Batman, directed by Matt Reeves, which I'm looking forward to that one because just I like the last two Planet of the Apes movies. But I don't want... At this point, I want to see Ben Affleck continue on as Batman only because...
Out of spite, because you know you don't want him to.
No, not even that. I would think that at this point... And I hate to... We almost went this whole episode without saying Marvel, comparing it to Marvel. But, you know, Marvel's had Robert Downey Jr. as, like, the center...
A central
point of everything that's been going on in that fucking universe. It'd be so cool to have one singular actor, in this case Ben Affleck, as fucking Batman being the center point of... Because Batman's the center point in all the fucking animated movies.
Well, technically, Robert Downey Jr. was the center point because the first movie of the entire arc started with Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
So technically, your cornerstone would be Henry Cavill. If I had to choose, done right from the beginning... I'd have Gal Gadot be Wonder Woman for the next 15 years easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
I like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I like Henry Cavill. Now I really like
Henry Cavill. Now you like Cavill. Because
I was okay with him before. I didn't have really an issue with him. But now I was like, okay, now I can see the positive of Superman, you know.
The potential of Henry Cavill as Superman when done right.
When done right. Yeah. And fuck, I like Ben Affleck as... And that's the thing. Marvel doesn't have a trinity of heroes. DC has a trinity. That's what they're known as. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. That's the DC trinity of heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have all three of them as your fucking trinity?
Cornerstone. Yeah.
You know? And just go from there and have them the focal point. If you can't get Ben Affleck in one movie, maybe you can get Gal Gadot in a movie. Or if you can't get her, maybe you can get Henry Cavill to just pop up, you know, for something. Something, you know, to where we have a stable, formalized, you know, connected world.
That's my next question. The first phase build up to the Avengers was so awesome because you saw every individual storyline build up to the Avengers.
Right.
After Avengers 2, you started seeing mostly enough people in every movie.
Right.
But Warner Brothers went backwards.
Right.
They wanted to start Justice League and then spin off everyone from there.
Right.
Is it already a necessity that you have to have at least two people in every movie from here on out?
A necessity? No. It's a way to hedge your bets. Yeah. You know, maybe double down on a couple things. You know, make sure you get that extra
star
power.
I would like to see, like, if you want to do Luke Cage and Iron Fist, why not do The Flash and Cyborg together?
Yeah.
You know, they're already giving us, they're trying to do Shazam with The Rock.
Oh, that's
Black,
another movie coming
with
out
Black
soon.
Adam
yeah.
as the villain.
Yeah.
Even though the Rock is a villain, you want to fucking... Why not have him as the face, you know?
Hero.
Yeah, hero. Whatever. Depending on who this is. Yeah. How weird do you want this to get? Because I've been reading a lot of positive first impressions with this new Doomsday Clock comic that came out today with the Justice League mm-hmm. fighting...
Watchmen.
The Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
There's already some sort of established, I don't know if you want to have to retell the Watchmen story, but would you be interested in seeing that story on TV?
Remake everything that was a Zack Snyder movie.
Yeah.
He did Watchmen.
Yeah. I didn't. Would you be interested in watching that story of the Justice League versus the Watchmen? Basically, Superman against Dr. Manhattan.
I'd buy a ticket to it just out of morbid curiosity to see how they do it, but yeah. It's not nothing that I'd. And as long as you tease me with we're gonna see Batman versus Night Owl, then yeah, I'd be down for that. Yeah. Superman
and the sirens.
Superman versus Dr. Manhattan. All right,
got me. That would be a decent build to the eventual Superman or Justice League versus Darkseid. That's a good, interesting barrier ground to open up the other dimensions if you're gonna have fucking Dr. Manhattan against Superman.
But here, that's taking it to like a far extreme. I think we're a few steps ahead before we get to that point. But I know he just came off of Thor Ragnarok, but dude, Taika
Waititi,
that guy. Sign him up for a New Gods movie for DC. We talked about New Genesis, Darkseid. They didn't say Apocalypse, but that was the planet they're mm-hmm. referencing, Steppenwolf. So they have established in words
New Gods.
That all that shit exists in that universe. And we just saw in Ragnarok, that motherfucker, he has a vision. And a lot of that stuff was Jack Kirby inspired, like all the artwork and the inside interior shit, the lines and everything. That was all Jack Kirby's artwork inspired. Jack Kirby also did New Gods.
Yeah.
So we could see the same type. And I hate to say that only because it's like 2 weeks removed from his movie he just did that was so successful. Yeah. Come on over to DC too and help them out too. You know, it's I hate to say that. I hate to be that guy, but why not? You know, why not go there? I think we also have a Joss Whedon doing a Batgirl movie. Yeah. But I don't think that's going to be tying into Justice League or anything like that. But, yeah, man. Shit, I was pleasantly surprised with this movie.
Sleep here, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I was expecting it, and it kind of matched my expectation overall, I still kind of felt a little surprised.
Yeah.
You know, part of me did have the doubt. I'll say it like that.
Well, I think it's the one thing that's affecting sales. You know, everybody's got that stigma of, well, you had good trailers. I don't know if it's going to be a good movie.
Did this break the stigma for you?
They got me for the next movie. Yeah, I know.
So is that considered a yes to the question, or do you need how? If that's not the answer, how many more? What do you want the track record to be before
they're on the right track? They're on the right track, and I want to see where they go next.
You want 2-0 before you can feel confident in the future, or do you need 3-0 or 4-0 or how many movies in a row will it take? Because right now we're 2-0, Wonder Woman, and now Justice League. How many more before you feel into the future?
You know what? I hate to be that guy that's bitching about Zack Snyder or something, but the stuff that has been touched by other people in this movie franchise hasn't been Zack Snyder that I've and the stuff that he hasn't done I've liked. So maybe if we can get away from there and kind of embrace the fact that it's a comic book franchise and let's go out there and let's have fun with it. And you know what it needs? It needs a Kevin Feige. It needs someone.
What if it's Zack Snyder?
Center point. What?
What if it's Zack Snyder?
No, fuck him. No, we need someone. We need a Kevin Feige person. Jeff Johns is the one I'd probably go to only because he knows everything there is about DC. He's an executive producer on a lot of this shit anyways. Why not fucking promote him? Make him the guy. The guy.
Your Wikipedia for DC.
Yeah, like when you think of Marvel, you think of Kevin Feige as the guy that creates, that does everything for it. Why not have Jeff Johns, the dude, that guy that's like, he's the visionary. Make him the visionary of where they take everything. A singular vision of...
He's your Bob Kane for the movieverse.
Bob Kane was an asshole.
But look at the work.
That's another topic for another day. But I like your spirit, pal.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting there. So, hang around you enough, I'll learn something.
Yes. I think that'd be the thing that gets me. If I knew... Did they have
Puppet Master?
Yeah. There you go. That post credit scene with setting up maybe an Injustice League or a Legion of Doom.
Yeah. I think for me it's safe to say, the old saying, three strikes, you're out.
Yeah.
I think it's three wins and you move on. So this whatever the movie's next, if this one if it's Good as Wonder Woman or Justice League, I'm in that fence where, all right, I'll start giving them the benefit of the doubt. One more good movie, I'll give
I
them the
just,
benefit of the doubt.
yeah, I just hope that the sales kick in. And I know worldwide hasn't really come in yet for the box office, but
But there's
man,
still time.
yeah, it's only 1 week. Thanksgiving, we're Thanksgiving week. A lot of people are out of school, a lot of people out of work, going to the movies and things like that. So maybe it'll really kick in, and maybe people aren't going to the
They've
movies.
got a couple of weeks, man, because I'm promise you,
Oh, Star Wars comes
Star
out?
Wars,
Oh, I mean, yeah,
dude,
yeah.
yeah.
Whew, yeah, forget about it.
Christmas will not exist. It's Thanksgiving, and then it's Star Wars, and then it's New Year's.
Movie theater's already sold out of it.
Yeah.
The one that we go to that's never really busy, that's sold out. So that comes out, I think, December like 16th or 15th or something like that. That's the deadline. That's the deadline for Justice League. If you're
Yeah.
not
Do what you
there,
can, because after
yeah,
that,
you're done.
fresh out of luck, buddy.
That's the end of the triple threat too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I think that's gonna wrap it up for this episode. Thanks again for tuning in, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Always check us out on facebook.com/popculturerewind. Go to iTunes for all our downloads. Do a search, Pop Culture Rewind. Give us a rate and
Subscribe.
review. Tell us we suck or whatever in the comments, but just give us 5 stars when you do it. That's all we want. Just give us 5 stars. Say shit about Chris. I don't really care. Say I
I don't
suck. I
care
don't
either.
care.
I'm used to it.
Yeah. So help us out with that. We're on Twitter also.
Pop culture RWND. We're working on getting those last two vowels.
One of these days.
Yeah.
One of these days. But I think it's gonna do it. So thanks again for tuning in. And always remember to pop your culture.
I need to come up with a better hand
Yeah, you
signal
do.
for culture.
It's like instinct by you. Like every time we do
I
these little
know.
things, you just say, okay. You want to do your thing?
Oh yeah, top guys. Out. Let's get out of here.
All right.